Thank you, Lord. Things are happening. God is moving mightily. Mightily. You know, the powers of darkness are being exposed again. We are in the second wind. And then the second wind, because the first wind would begin to expose and push back the powers of darkness, expose their strategies. The second wind would release strategies and provisions to the body of Christ. And in the second wind, you're going to see a tremendous amount of things happen because we're in a time of entering a new era. The world will never be the same. People will never be the same. Those who are staying the same are in trouble. This is a global awakening from God Almighty. It's a trap from the enemy. I mean, from the enemy, but a trap from God for the enemy. Amen? So things are moving rapidly. We can't even catch up. I don't know if you know right now, but there are military operations in 13 states. The military has invaded, but they've infiltrated 13 states already with tanks and all kinds of things, aircraft. They're flying all over the place. Of course, the first ones that are over is California. Hello. New York and all those areas. One of the things you got to remember that has occurred is the ports have been shut down in Washington. Why, you know, Seattle, Washington, those ports, those East Coast ports, or West Coast ports, I'm sorry, have been shut down. They're refusing to go and unload the ships. The ships are backing up. Trucks, tractor trailers are running out of gas out there. They're having to turn around and leave because they can't pick up the loads. So you got Los Angeles and Washington, the West Coast. Why? Because the enemy has done this. But you know what? One of the things God's going to provide no matter what. So we got the East Coast that's open. You know, there's no coincidence the tabernacle's entered by the East. Hello? So we are in a definite time and season of things that are really manifesting. And being awake is vitally important to these things. And not being distracted. Something that the Spirit gave me this morning, which we need to refresh ourselves on, because even though all of these things are happening, they're coming from another location. Matthew 27:45. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, have you forsaken me? If you expected me to read the Hebrew, I wasn't going to. I didn't want to, you know, condemn it. In verse 47, so here's Jesus on the cross. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran over and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. Crude people, weren't they? And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And when he did this, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. Something occurred there. The veil of the temple. Now, we've talked about this before, because the veil was known as a curtain. You couldn't see beyond it. Something happened here. And here's the result of that dimensional realm being open. The veil of the temple, or what we call the eternal pathway, or a portal to another existence, was opened. Think about this. That was a portal to another existence available for humanity. Jesus paid the price for that. Behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and a rock split. I would say there was a tremendous vibration of everything that occurred. And the graves were opened. And then it says, many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Now again, this were the saints during Jesus' ministry. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, so these were open for 3 days. Think about this. How many days was he gone? 3 days. So the graves are opened immediately. But after 3 days, so everybody seen these graves open up, these stones rolled back and so forth. They were probably freaking out, wondering what's going on. And after 3 days, people came walking out of them. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, as everybody see that, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion, those with him, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. Again, you got to look at something very powerfully, because this is called beyond the veil. Everyone say beyond the veil. There's something that goes on beyond the veil, which God was trying to bring from that reality realm into this realm. He was making a portal to another existence, a way of escape. In Exodus 26:26. The Lord told Moses how to build a tabernacle, because God wanted to dwell with man. And he said to him, you shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards on one side and of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards on the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards on the other side of the tabernacle. For the far side, west side, the middle bar shall pass through the midst of the boards from one end to the other. You shall overlay the boards with gold, make the rings of gold as holders of the bars, and overlay the bars with gold. So in other words, he was telling them how to make these bars. Why? Because he was about to put the curtains on, or what we call the veils. 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 Verse 30, you shall raise up the tabernacle according to its pattern which you were shown on the mountain. You shall make a veil woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. It shall be woven with an artistic design of cherubim, in other words, angel. You shall hang it upon the 4 poles of the acacia wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be gold upon 4 sockets of silver. And you shall hang the veil from the clasps. Then you shall bring the Ark of the Testimony in there behind the veil. So what was behind the veil? The Ark of the Testimony. So God was actually building the holy place first. Everybody get that? The most holy place. The most holy place was actually being built first. The veil shall be the divider for you between the holy place and the most holy place. You shall put the mercy seat upon the Ark of the Testimony in the most holy. You shall set the table outside the veil, and a lampstand across from the table on the side of the tabernacle towards the south. And you shall put the table on the north side. You shall make a screen for the door of the tabernacle, woven of blue, purple, scarlet thread, and fine woven linen, made by weaver. Again, here we are talking about the tabernacle that God told Moses to establish so that he could dwell with man. But God being holy, he had to make 3 chambers of the tabernacle: the outer place, the holy place, and then the most holy place. It was a pattern so that man, the priest, could cleanse themselves before they got before the most holy presence of God. Why? Because the presence of God would kill you. Amen? So even when the priest went into the most holy place, once a year, they tore, put a rope around their ankle with a bell. If there was something that they missed in the ritual, they died. And you'd hear them, poof, and the bell go, ding, and they'd pull the dude out. Because nobody was going in there to get him. Hallelujah. The veil, or what we call the curtain for each chamber of the tabernacle of the eternal porter, they're not only three veils, but they're three dimensions and three realities, each one meant. There were three functions. The outer court was known as the salvation. The holy place was known as priesthood. The most holy place was known as kingship. So as you grow and mature, just like a child, in other words, there's infant, right? And an infant is totally dependent on somebody else because they can't feed themselves, change themselves, do nothing. Then they get to adolescent. Then they get to adulthood. Those, you know, if you think about it, when you remember where you've gone through, you probably don't remember if to be an infant. Amen? But you do remember being a little toddler, you know, in some areas of your life. But your reality was totally different. As you became older, your reality changed. You went from one reality to another. And the problem is you and I were born in a fallen state. We're born in a world run by a satanic realm. So around us, the only ones that really could protect us as we went from one reality to another and began to mature more was our family. And when there was broken families, it was very difficult. Even with solid families, if they were still, you know, deceived by religious operations and so forth, we were taught those things because our environment was changing me and you and how we looked at each reality. Does everybody understand? But Jesus paid the price so that we can come into a place and be born again out of this reality and to another one, a whole new existence. That's what born again is. We are a brand new creation in Christ, a whole new existent being. Even though your face is still the same and everything else is still the same, but you smile more now. You're not miserable. You can see better. You hear better. Things are different now. Amen? So we see that there's these three veils represented curtains or dividers, which separated three dimensions and three realities. John 14, verse 5. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said what? I am the way, which is the outer court, the truth, which is the holy place, and the life, which is the most holy place. In other words, I am the eternal port home to a new existence. No one comes to the what? Father, except for through me. So God was trying to reconnect creation to its original state of being with the Father. Is everybody with me? Oh, verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him because you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it's sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So now you can say, so how can you say, show me the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. So Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to another existence, or what we call ascension. Everyone say ascension. See, now the world teaches ascension, but it's a New Age movement. Because you cannot ascend into this new creation except for going through the eternal port of God Almighty. You must go through the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. Amen? That's where you must be born again. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 40. There are also celestial bodies, terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of terrestrial is another. There is one glory of our sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in corruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in what? Hallelujah. It is sown in, yes. So it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a what? Spiritual body. That's a whole new creation. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and after the spiritual. That's why we had to come into this realm first. The first man was of the earth, the man of dust, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter or inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. What's the next feast to be fulfilled? Feast of Trumpets. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then it shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Entering behind the veil, what we call the third veil, amen, into the new existence. Again, there's a process for each and every one as we go through life. Now, there's something you must understand. The enemy does not want you to go through the process. He'll do everything he can to get you out of the tabernacle so that you live in outer darkness. See, you've got outer court, holy place, most holy place. That's the tabernacle. But outside of that is called outer darkness. And when people are living in the outer court, it's the closest to the outer darkness. That's why many people go in and out, in and out. They fall, they do the same, doing the same repeat things all the time. They last for 2 weeks and then they're no good. Because they're not living in the most holy place. Or the holy place. In Romans chapter 8, 22, please. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our what? Body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance. The redemption of our body by the ascension through the eternal port into the new existence. Now, there's going to be a completion of all of these things that are happening. God has set a specific time when these things must come to pass. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 6. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows such as one was caught up to the what? Third heaven. Now, we hear all kinds of script, all kinds of things, you know. Well, there's six heavens or seven heavens or this one. You know, I can only be, only what the word says to me is what I can believe. So if it says that there's the third heaven, then it means there's three dimensions. Is everybody okay? You know, there's so many things out there. I don't care whether the earth is flat, round, square, rectangular. They can argue all about that. I could care less. That's just another distraction. That's all it is. They're distractions. And verse 3. I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. How he was caught up into paradise. Where? The third heaven. He was taken through the veils into the glory. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. Powerful. The third heaven. Three realities. Three dimensions. Three realms. Paul wanted a new existence location. He ascended there. Does everybody understand it? But he didn't live there. Now, Enoch ascended there. God took him home. Moses went there. Amen. They were preparing a place for me and you. Acts 26 and verse 12. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus, this is Paul, or Saul, who became Paul, with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me, and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speak to me, saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. What a powerful, powerful thing that happened. Saul, who became Paul. And we see here, this is where the Lord appeared to him. He said, look, man, I'm going to send you. I know I had to knock you off your horse to get your attention. But Saul knew that it had to be God. He didn't know, he didn't know what was what. I mean, only God could do something like that. And but he told him what his commission was and his purpose was. Acts chapter 9. So Paul's commission was to open the eyes to the individuals and comprehend the evil presence that rules the world, and it rules the world with deception and fear. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 10, it says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, to whom the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, he said, and he says, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. So before Saul could fulfill the commission, he had to get sight himself. Amen? Then Ananias answered the Lord, I've heard from many about this man whom much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. The Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has come to you and has sent me to you that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, man, so he couldn't fulfill his commission without being filled and baptized in the Holy Ghost. Somebody get it? See, so there's so many people out there trying to fulfill the commission without the anointing of God. And if you're not backed by heaven, you're in trouble. So when he had received, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales or veils. And he received his sight at once, and he rose and was baptized. Now that's powerful. See, because you and I were born with blinders. And it's not until the baptism of the Holy Spirit where those blinders come off. See, one of the things people don't realize that when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit with tongues, that language allows you to break through all barriers. Because the Bible says that when we pray in the Spirit, we pray directly to the Father. Amen? I was hearing a man's testimony the other day. And the Lord had told him to go with this group to go meet somebody, high up official. And the person he was supposed to go with got sick. So he didn't know what the heck to do. So he still goes to this meeting to go in this room, and he's sitting in this room, and he's going, Lord, what the heck am I doing here? Why am I here? And the Lord said, well, every time you've prayed in tongues, you've asked me to send you here. He said, oh. Why? Because out of the heart. Amen? See, the Spirit of God was praying through him because he took what he wanted to do. God puts a desire in you, and you don't even know what you're praying, but you're praying God's perfect will. See, tongues is for every believer, but people don't believe it. They think it was for people yesterday. Only certain people receive it. No, it's for everyone. Everyone. Why? Because it is a gift that is essential to life. It is a gift essential to life. And using that gift will change your life. It will maintain a new life. It will keep you connected to another reality of existence. So one of the things the enemy first wants to do is he wants to come and steal your identity. As people begin to compromise and he begins to steal your identity, he begins to blind you again. Just because they fell off once doesn't mean they can't come back on. It's our responsibility now to keep them off. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look at steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded. So I'll grab hold of this. So the eyes were blinded, weren't they? Amen. Remember what happened in the garden. The serpent lied. He said, man, come on, man. You'll be just like God. And they were able to see God. They walked with God face to face. They saw the serpent. They saw the angels. And as soon as they sinned, the blinders came on. Not only over their eyes, but over their minds. Because what did the Lord say? Man, who told you that stuff? He says, man, I was afraid. He said, where'd you get that from? Satan's greatest weapon is deception. His power is fear. Powerful. Verse 11. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded. For even until this day, the veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. So you got the Jews that are still reading the Torah, amen, but the veil is still there. Not until they come into Christ. So they're blinded. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their what? Heart. So it's the mind, the eyes, and the heart. That's the veil, the blinders. That's why people are doing stupid stuff out there. Amen? That's why you have transgenders, homosexuals, lesbians, all of these things. Why? Because these people are taken captive by demonic spirits. Hallelujah. Verse 15. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now here he's going to express and explain it so simply. Now the Lord is the what? Spirit. The Lord is the what? Spirit. He says, man, when you turn your hearts and get filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, these scales will come off. Your mind and your heart. And I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new mind. And I'll give you the heart of Christ and the Spirit of Christ. And you will follow me and obey me. And the Spirit will tell you things to come. And you won't be misled, you'll be led. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom. But we are all, with unveiled face, beholding the mirror in the glory of the Lord, and being transferred into the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit is the one that brings me and you through every trial, because we're changing. We're constantly, listen, there's nobody that's not in a trial. Well, because when you're coming out of one, you're in another. There's always something going on. Why? Because we're always constantly changing. What are we getting ready for? Ascension. We're getting ready for that moment. Will we awake in his image and likeness? And many of the world will miss it. Chapter 4, verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, okay, blinded to people, it is blinded to those who are what? Perishing. Don't tell me you're a Christian and don't read your Bible, because then you're not feeding your spirit. Hallelujah. But even if our gospel, which is the message of truth, is veiled, is blinded, is veiled to those who are perishing. Whose minds, hello, come on, grab hold of this. The God of this age has what? Blinded. So who's interfering with people reading their word? Who's interfering with them receiving the truth? The enemy. It's called the spirit of Antichrist. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, which means follow. Lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Wow. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God, and not of us. For we are what? Hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. In other words, we are hard pressed. Why? Because we live in a realm where darkness rules. Does everybody get it? We live in a realm where Satan's kingdom rules. temporarily, anyways. The God of this age is evil. It's antichrist spirits and all of his demons. In Romans 13, verse 11. What's beyond the veil? A new existence. A new existence. Now, we have started that process of a new existence right now. Do not let the mirror dictate you. Don't let the world dictate you. Don't let your health dictate you. Don't let your disappointments dictate you. Don't let your failures dictate you. And don't let your emotions dictate you. Because there's many people with emotional scars. We let the Spirit of God and His Word dictate us. But if you're not being filled with the Spirit of God, and if you're not partaking of the Bible, the Word of God, how can you be maintain that? Because you'll easily drift. And do this knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when it was in the first when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk in properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness and lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Why? Because we'll move you out of the tabernacle. They'll move you out of the most holy place. Amen? We're to cast off the works of darkness. In John 15, in verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my sake, my namesake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sins. He who hates me, my Father also. He who hates Jesus hates the Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this has happened, that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Wow. Mark chapter 9 and verse 2. Now after 6 days, well, the Lord says one day with the Lord is like what? 1,000 years. So what's he saying after 6,000 years? Well, you know that 2030 is 6,000 years? Think about that. I mean, you know, give or take a couple thousand. I don't know. Couple thousand minutes or hours or whatever it is. But think about this. I mean, we are alive at this time for a specific purpose and reason. It's amazing. I was talking to somebody at the gym this morning, go, man, you know we're alive for this specific purpose right now. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain, apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white, like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with him, Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here, and let us make what? 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Place of dwelling. Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. Come on, man, they probably freaked out. Jesus said, come on, follow me. They go up to the mountain. Next thing you know, all right, hang here for a second. Whoa. Whole new creation. Radiant light and love and power. And here comes Moses and Elijah. These guys were freaked out. I'm surprised they didn't bury their heads in the sand. The only thing they could say, well, let's build a tabernacle. Let's do something. At least they didn't say, let's build an ark. They'd have been there a while. Jesus was transfigured like ascension. He was telling us in 6,000 years, the moment of ascension will come. Or after 6,000 years. He said, you know, again, he was telling us. And think about this. So who are the two witnesses? Moses and Elijah. I keep hearing all of these other things about all these other people. But these are the two witnesses that showed up with Jesus. And these are the two witnesses that are coming back. Oh, hallelujah. Some people get too much education with stuff and too much into it and confuse it. It's just simple. It's supposed to be simple. Here it is. Who's the two witnesses? Moses and Elijah. Hello. Hallelujah. Now, praise God. And a cloud, verse 7, and a cloud came and overshadowed them, and the voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. Suddenly when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves, back to his normal state of being. And he said, to make sure you don't go out and tell everybody about this. Yeah, Roy, you're going to try and keep these three guys quiet? What just happened? Yeah, we'll do it for as long as we can, Lord. I don't know how long. They have to chew rocks or something, you know? But again, they saw what happens beyond the veil. The promises of God are beyond the veil. Everything is released from beyond the veil. You and I were born in darkness. We were born in a fallen state world. And God came to restore me and you to our original state of being before we came here. Amen? Now, you're not going to remember who you were then. We don't even know. And again, I always tell people, you know, when Jesus said, hey, I need some volunteers to go to heaven, go to the earth. We probably said, I'll go, Lord, I'll go. He said, now remember this. You're going to forget where you came from. You're going to lose your identity, and you're going to be taken captive by evil. But I'll protect you. I'll send people around you. I'll raise you up. And at a certain time, I'll come and get you. And I'll start your ascension process. I'll restore my promises to you. I'll dispatch my angels around you. I'll fill you with my spirit and give you new eyes, a new heart, a new mind. And we'll walk together. I'll visit you in dreams and visions with revelations. I'll give you a language that will speak directly to me. And the world will hate you. Because of who you are and who you represent and what you carry. Because you carry truth that is damaging to evil. Damaging. This is who we are. We are the offsprings of truth, the anointed one. We can't be compromised. We got to be steadfast, maintaining our routine in warfare. Warfare, spiritual warfare is essential. No matter what's going on in your life, everything's going to turn to the good. No matter what it is. I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen to you? You can go home. Praise God. There should be no fear in going home. Amen? God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. And the anointing to overcome everything. What a dad. The world celebrates Father's Day, but there's only one true father for me and you. He's the true dad. He's the great I Am Daddy. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that you seal the word that's been imparted in us to continue to confirm and affirm our identity in you. We know that we are in a time where great, great attacks are all around. It's hard-pressed time, but he who is in us is greater than he is in the world. And you have given us the strength and the anointing to overcome anything that will come against us, because you have already destroyed the gates of hell for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.